Hello, Supermama. So this week on the show, we have Angela Sutherland and Evelyn Roosley. So after Angela and Evelyn learned about the importance of nutrition in the first 1,000 days of a child's life, they both decided to quit their jobs and launch Yumi, a subscription-based service that now delivers thousands of fresh and organic weekly meal plans of baby purees directly to homes across the country. And also how they came to find out that launching their company was almost like starting a marriage. Oh, and Paulina is also semi-back and shares some of the recent challenges she's had with Sixta with her latest pediatric visit. We learn once again that us moms are the biggest advocates for our children. Enjoy the show, sisters.
Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. And I was jumping on the waves with Carista, and he was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Risa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted, and he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's right. Nice. We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
Super Mamas! Hello.
Hello. Hello, Paulina.
Look, you just woke up the baby.
Wait, that was your hello, not mine.
Okay, no, she's still awake. We still have some time.
Welcome back.
Well, hi.
Semi
back. Well, no, we said I was going to come back in November to record.
So oh, there you go.
Here I am. I got to stick to my calendar.
Do you know how I did remind you yesterday? You're like, oh yeah, it is November. Shit.
It is November. I can't believe it's November. Wow. It's crazy. No, but I do. I need to talk. This is my therapy.
How are you feeling? Today you went to register the baby. Tell us all about that.
Well, when you have a home birth, when you have a baby at the hospital, you know, they just go and you do it right there and you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. You just, one day you get the social security in the mail and the
yes. Thing, so. Well, when you have the baby at home, nobody comes to your house. You have to actually go. And the day she was born, I think the day after she was born or 2 days, I called and made the appointment. It took like a whole month to get the appointment. So
you could register her?
Yeah. So they gave you the appointment until today. I mean, I didn't register before because they didn't give me the appointment until
so
today.
So technically she didn't exist until
technically
today?
She was like non-existent until today. Today she's official. She has a birth certificate.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to do it yourself.
So you couldn't travel?
I couldn't travel. Well, I still don't know if I can travel. That's what I was telling you earlier. Because it takes 3 weeks for me to go and get her social because they still have to process her birth certificate. And then until 3 weeks, they're going to give me her social. And then that's when I can do her passport. So I'm like, I'm cutting it really, really close to the trip that I want to do to Oaxaca. So I'm just kind of like, I was kind of bummed today when they told me that. Because, yeah.
That's insane.
That's crazy. You actually have to go yourself and do it.
Like, yeah, it's not like the hospital where like, no. Oh, here's the paperwork and you have to worry about
but
it.
But it was really easy, really fast. Like it wasn't really, you make an appointment, you go and they come out and see you and they fill out the paper and then you do it.
So there's more, I mean, I think it sounds like having a home birth is magical and wonderful, but the things that come after
yeah.
A little bit of a struggle. I wanted to talk to you about your experience with Kaiser because even though we love Kaiser so much, we've had births there. I want to, and maybe it's not to Kaiser itself, maybe it was just this doctor, but
yeah,
we haven't talked about what happened in your first visit.
I think it was just this one doctor. The first time I went to the hospital after I saw the baby, after I had the baby, was like 2 days after. And I was, mind you, I had just had the baby. I was super, you know, still tiernita, dijera mamá, like coming out of, you know, uh-huh. we just barely had a baby. We drove all the way over there.
You're still pretty tiernita right now. Yeah. You still haven't fully recovered.
My husband was pushing me around in a wheelchair with the baby.
What?
Yeah, because I couldn't really, you know, walk all that much. So we went and we had to take her because, you know, a pediatrician had to see her. So we went and the pediatrician that saw me that day, I'm sorry, but she was a bitch. She was so condescending. She was so mean. She was very disrespectful. She, you know, made it seem like I was pretty much putting my baby's life in danger. She questioned everything. She was very rude to my husband, to myself. And, you know, after, I think it's been a while, so I'm not as upset because I already put my complaint with Kaiser.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. But tell me.
But she, I walked out of there crying. I walked out of there crying and just really doubting my decision, you know, like, you know, I took forever. I was really empowered by the fact that I had the baby at home and my husband was so happy. We were in this like high of happiness with the baby and everything. And she completely tore us down. She said that, you know, why did I decide to do that? That if it was an accident, that how dare put my baby in danger? That how come I didn't decide on this and that? Like, she questioned everything about me. She was saying, like, you know, if I had gestational diabetes, like, how dare I had the baby at home? Mm-hmm. And pretty much at that point, I think after, when I went back home and days after, I thought of a million things to tell her, but I couldn't tell her right there and then. I was so fragile. And my husband was just... Of course.
And she's like a doctor.
She's a doctor, you know? And like,
so you trust her, right?
Yeah. And even, you know, the whole thing with the vitamin K, I was like, I want to give her the drops because that's what we decided. She was like, I've seen babies come and just die. And I was like...
Yeah, like, how does she...
Yeah, and I was like, out of nowhere? And she was like, yeah, just out of nowhere. They die. They bleed. Their brains bleed. And like, my husband and I were looking at each other like, damn, we went home.
Like, did we make a mistake? Yeah,
we actually went home. We called our midwife and we actually gave her the shot afterwards because she intimidated us so much. And my husband was like, well, even if we decide to do it, we're not going to do it with her. Like, she's not going to, you know, let us do it. And then another thing was that they don't really know what to do with home births. Like, they didn't know where to send us. They didn't know. Like, they were like, what? You had the baby at home? Like, why? Like, why? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, but... My kids have the head pediatrician as their pediatrician. Mm-hmm. So when I went to see him, I told him exactly what happened. And I said, you know, regardless of her opinions, I think she's there to advise me, but not to push her ideas onto me. And I don't appreciate what she did. And I told him, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a customer and you guys are there to give me good customer service. And that was horrible customer service. And I was like crying and, you know, I had a really horrible experience. So he said that they were going to like talk to her. And, you know, like, I made this whole complaint with Kaiser because I was like, it was so bad. It was so horrible. You know, they intimidate you so much. And she made it seem like I was ignorant. Like, I was giving her the answers that she wanted, like, questioning me, and I was giving her the answers of why I decided on certain things, like the vitamin K or the ointment on her eyes and things like that. And she kept pushing me just to get a wrong answer out of me. But she couldn't because I knew my stuff, you know. Yeah, yeah, I had made my research.
Yeah.
And she just kept getting more annoyed, and she was rolling her eyes at us. Like it
like
was
really
bad.
Rolling her eyes?
She was rolling her eyes. I'm telling you, my husband was like, she's a bitch. Like, I'm sorry, but he was like, how dare, like, but we were just so in shock that we didn't say anything to her. And later she called me back because she forgot to ask me some things. And I was like, I'm not even going to call her back. Like, screw that. But the second time I went to see another pediatrician. She was so nice. And she was like, I've seen a lot of home births. You know, she just made it seem like home births were like this thing that ignorant people do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I know that there's hospitals that have home, you know, water births, because Elizabeth, our sister, told me right after when I told her my experience. She was like, this hospital has water births. And, you know, it was just bad. But, you know, I just don't want to ¿cómo se dice? Disencourage anybody. But, you know, a lot of people out there are still, like, very close-minded about those kind of things. You know, they think that hospital births are what's right. But it's really up to you. You know, I was very... I did my research and everything before I decided to have a home birth. So if you're thinking about it, you know, just do your research and whatever you feel more comfortable with. I really, you know, even though I had the diabetes, I kept it under control and nothing really happened. You know, just as long as you know and you're making an informed decision.
Yeah.
That's what matters. Not just because I didn't do it just because it was like in. You know, I did it because I did my research and I was like, you know, I don't have any complications. You know, my baby's having very healthy. So, you know, why not? So that's my 2 cents on that.
Well, good for you that you actually did something afterwards and
yeah.
complained. Because a lot of people, when they are faced with people with power, like mm-hmm. doctors, police officers, they tend to shut down. And they tend to think like, well, like teachers.
Yeah.
You know, they're almighty and they are right.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't have the bravery to actually stand up for ourselves. So I'm yeah. glad you actually did something about it.
I did. You know, and when she left, she asked me who my pediatrician was. And I told her. He was like, oh, tell him you saw me. And I was like, oh, I will tell him that I saw you. And he was so embarrassed and he was so, you know, he apologized to my husband and myself. But I did because I was like, I can't believe it. Like if I was somebody that didn't know and intimidated me, like if she intimidated me, I can imagine her other patients, the way she like, whatever she wants to do on the child, the people have to do because that's mm-hmm. just the way, whatever she wants, you know? And that happens all the time. And my husband and I realized that that's what happens. You walk into a hospital somewhere and they tell you and you're like, okay, okay, okay. And you never question them. Never question them.
It's like school with teachers.
Yeah. You really never question them until now. I was like, wait a minute. I don't have to do this or that or that.
You're not the boss of me.
No,
doctor.
I'm the boss of me.
Well, I'm glad you got to share that story with all the moms. And
yes.
You're a great example of female empowerment. Today, we have two extraordinary females on the show, actually. We have Angela Sutherland and Evelyn Rusley, founders of Yumi from so HelloYumi.com, which I'm sure you're going to be using pretty soon.
Yes. I'm so sorry. I missed them. I wanted to meet them.
I know. They are such bosses. And the definition of just... female empowerment, and you know, obviously in the show as we talk about whether you know the empowering of giving birth at home, empowering mm-hmm. starting your own business, the way they just quit their job and started this company, and now how well it's been received, it's incredible. And just like the idea of providing good food for your kids and learning the importance of the first 2 years of yeah. a child's life, and that's what's going to set forth the rest of like childhood, you know, and we don't give enough focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also they surprised us with a special code. So for all us listeners, they're going to give us a discount code that it's going to give you a free box of food, which is a $50 value.
Wow.
All you have to go is to HelloYumi.com and enter code SUPERMAMAS.
Yay.
So again,
is it SUPERMAMAS all together? One word?
SUPERMAMAS, one word. HelloYumi.com. Get your free box of food for your baby. And if you don't have a baby, get it anyway and make yourself a good cocktail, because some of those recipes are good to either eat yourself. They're that delicious.
Damn.
So glad to talk to you again, Paulina. I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad you're feeling better. You're going to be back from now on. Is that it? You're back officially?
I'm about to record. I think so. Yes.
All right, guys. Enjoy our interview with Angela and Evelyn, founders of Yumi. Well, welcome, ladies, once again. So tell me how you guys met. Tell us a love story. I know we talked a little bit before we had our technical difficulties, but tell me, how did you guys meet?
Yeah, so it actually happened several years before we started the company, and my fiance, who was a friend at the time, introduced me to Angela, and they had been friends for many years. And he said before I met her, he was like, Angela and her husband Angus are really important to me. I really love them. No pressure at all. But you should be especially nice to Angela, because at some point you two are going to start a company together. And it was just such a funny prediction because at the time I was a journalist with the Wall Street Journal and thinking about what my next phase would be, but not necessarily, you know, that we were going to start Yumi the next day. And he just knew because he knew Angela so well and we had been friends for a while before we started dating. He knew me really well and he just thought that there was some kind of magic there. And he was right.
And what was your first impression?
I just was really more the moral support to get him the girl. But I was actually really impressed by Evelyn. I thought that he was so lucky to have landed her. And I always joke that I married her first. So, you know, they are engaged now. But when we started this company, really, it's like a marriage. So, you know, I already put the ring on it.
Now, who approached who about starting the company? Was it just like one day you woke up, but you were a journalist, you were in manufacturing already,
right? Yeah, I was in private equity before. And so, you know, I was doing operations where we were running companies. And it's actually when I had my first child that we started talking about this. And so with Elodie, about 3 years ago, I realized like how hard it was to have a child, to know a lot about nutrition, to make food. And I started really researching about this period and about like finding out that this period's so important.
Now, how long ago was this?
About 3.5 years ago, I'd say. Mm-hmm. So it was when I was, you know, Elodie is my daughter is about 3 and some change. So it was like 3.5 years ago when we first started talking about nutrition and the importance of nutrition. We officially, you know, quit our jobs about 2 years ago now, 1.5 years, and raised money last fall and started 3 months ago.
Yeah, but to back it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this like, is why. Yeah. It's true. Story yeah. of how you guys came up with this.
Yeah, I mean, so to back it up a little bit, what I love about Angela is she's one of the biggest nerds I know. And I think, like, being a journalist and also loving research, like, what really resonated early on was when she shared with me this folder, this Dropbox folder of literally every medical report in the last 10 to 15 years about childhood nutrition. And it was just so shocking, you know, when I was going through these reports, like I consider myself
you were a journalist.
And I was a journalist, right? I consider myself a pretty informed person on the precipice of motherhood. Like, you know, it's obviously something on my radar. All my friends are first time mothers. But when I was looking through this, I was like, wow, I didn't realize how important the first 1,000 days are. And it's just amazing, all the scientific research, and a lot of it was wrapped up in terms that are, you know, people don't use colloquially or like in common everyday conversation, but it was just so clear that from all this research, the scientists had come across that the 1,000 days from in utero to age 2 was more important than the rest of your life. And, you know, to see that discrepancy between this research and the current state of the market. Mm-hmm. And so when Angela is telling me kind of like, these are the options, like if you want convenience, it is shelf stable, it's high in fructose, it's not very nutrient dense. I was like, wow, this is such an incredible mission. She was like, we should start a company. And I was like, yeah, okay, let's quit our jobs.
Now, did you quit your jobs right away? Or how did you guys just say, like, okay, we're going to start cooking? Did you guys just get in the kitchen and we're like, let's just, like, do puree? Like, did you already know it was purees? Did you, like, what? How did you even come up? Because it's not just, like, saying, like, okay, we're going to start a company and, like, cool, let's quit our jobs.
Part of starting a company is just like being really bold. And so the less you know, the better. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, so we really quit our jobs. We decided that this was the thing, you know,
food. And did you guys have savings before you quit your jobs? Or were you just like, I mean, you just had a kid, or you just like, okay, I'm just not going to care?
Yeah, it was a little, I mean, I was a journalist, so it's not like I was getting paid a ton. You know, there's definitely this leap of faith that you take. Yeah. And it was just, you know, very clear that, you know, we being, you know, in our early 30s, you know, it seemed like a great time to take a risk. You know, was like now or never kind of thing. And it just, when she was articulating the mission, it really resonated. I was like, this is a great thing to commit every day of my life to. So, yeah, I mean, it was like a couple months and then we quit our jobs.
Yeah, so I think we just believed in it enough. So I think, you know, we said that day we should start something. We talked about it for the next 2 months and then quit our jobs. It was really quick, though, afterwards. Again, like, I think that almost the less you know, the better.
I didn't tell my parents. Yeah.
Now, how did you guys come up with the recipes? Or how did you guys come up with, like, not just the recipes, but the actual business? Did you guys have a business plan? Or how did you guys come up with the idea of what Yumi is today? From day one to now, how was that journey for you
guys?
Well,
it's interesting because, you know, we talk about sprinting and then what was slow and what was fast. And I think was very fast that we wanted to do this. It was slower in terms of how we wanted to develop it. So we were really thoughtful. You know, obviously we just officially launched a couple months ago. And so in between, you know, Angela having Ility and launching, there was some time. And we took that time to really research out, you know, the kind of recipes that we wanted, talking to experts, pediatricians, dietitians, mapping everything against like Excel spreadsheets and making sure we hit required daily amounts for babies. And so, and then also testing that with real life families and making sure that also the taste of it was really delicious and something that resonated and felt 10x better than what was on the grocery store shelf. So right. That we took our sweet time with to make sure we got right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, as far as the business plan goes, like we, you know, that was my background. And so a lot of that was, you know, from the get-go, we wanted to make a company that was operationally efficient. We wanted to make sure that this like was scalable, that this existed in the world, you know, and we didn't want it to, there's been a lot of, you know, like startups that come and go, and we didn't want to be another casualty to that. So we really thoughtfully planned out what could make this business grow and what was, you know, what was the best margins and how to do that, what's the best product to start with. And when we started with purees, we decided that that was the one that was the least innovated over the last century. You know?
I know, right? It's like from Gerber.
Right. It's like they had Gerber in this jar.
And it always like freaks me out when I see kids. Well, number one, when you see like kids' food,
yeah,
you don't want to eat it, right?
That's right.
I like grossed out by it, but yet you feed it to your kid.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was like the first light bulb.
It's on the dry shelf. It's not even refrigerated. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like, would you eat this? And it's right. Like, then why do you even give it to your kid? And I think like nowadays, I think it's just packaged better, mm-hmm. but it's still the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's exactly right. So that was my light bulb moment. It's right. The fact that I didn't want to eat something that I was giving to something I felt was like the purest form of a being, you know, and I didn't even want to put it in my mouth. I was like, this is not something I would eat. Like, I'd never just open a jar of beef stew and eat it off the shelf.
Or even like a pasta. Like, you don't even like open like a pasta jar and put it in your mouth, right? You're like, always do something to it. Or totally. Even now, you're like, pasta is such a side note. It's like the worst thing you can have.
Right. Mm-hmm. It, I mean, it's high in sodium. Like, you should be like, I think just as our generation, we just know as our informed generation, you know, we know so much more. We know like what we should be putting in our body. We feel more comfortable with certain things than others, but yet we're that divorced from it with baby food. You know, we don't think like, wow, I wouldn't eat this. Like, I shouldn't give it to my baby. And so, you know, that's where it started. There's like, this has not changed. Like, the only thing that changed in baby food was the introduction of organic and the squeeze pouch, but it's still the same exact things inside of it.
Yeah.
And so it's still like shelf stable, older than your baby, and not nutrient dense. So there wasn't
older any than your baby. I know. Love that. Oh. It's so true. It's like when you're giving your baby, it's older than he or she.
I know.
And you already thought about it that way.
Yeah. And so it's crazy. So you think about this and you're like, oh man, that doesn't feel good. You know? And so what feels good though? But being a busy mom is not easy. You know, having a job, having kids is not easy. So cooking every meal sounds like a great thing. It sounds like the dream, but it's really, really hard. You know, I was spending like my entire weekend, like, you know, whether it was like meal planning or chopping or steaming.
Or washing dishes. I feel like every weekend, my weekends are washing dishes. Like, that's how I spend my weekends.
Yeah.
Or if we're home, if we, you know, for some of us who work at home sometimes, do you feel like sometimes you're home and all you want to do is clean?
Yeah, yes.
Totally.
Right? Your entire day is now just spent cleaning. And because like cleaning pots or, you know, the number of things that I was doing, and my entire freezer was full of like baby little tiny things. And I was like, this isn't efficient. You know, this isn't the way I want to live my life. And I wished I could be doing other things with my kids. Like, I'd love to go to the zoo, you know, or the museum with my kid, but instead I'm making baby food all day, every day. And so that's really, you know, one of the biggest like light bulb moments for me, that it was like, it was so hard to be a working mother and cook. And on top of that, know exactly what your kid was getting. And so, you know, at the end of the day, even if I made all this, like, I didn't know if they were getting enough iron or calcium or vitamins at all. And so, you know, a lot of what we wanted to set out to do was like make a baby food that was smarter. And so that's what the first product was. It was like the smarter baby food. It was like fresh, organic, but it also told you how much nutrients were in it.
Now, I received a package from you guys not too long ago, and the package is completely different. Number one, your branding is incredible. I loved everything I received. You guys sent a little booklet along, which is like a kid's book, right? Yeah. About like veggies and colors and numbers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the moment I received it, I was like, wow, this is going to blow up. This is so great. It's so incredible. Can you speak to me a little bit more about how the business works today? How you can subscribe, how much it costs, what do moms receive, or different levels of subscription? How does Yumi work?
Sure. It's a direct-to-consumer product, so you have to go online and you order. You can get a week's worth of food for as low as $28 a week. We start with solids that are single flavors, so like whether it's like the apple or carrot or sweet potato. And that helps like parents, you know, really adjust to starting your kids onto solids. And then we go into the blends, which are sort of our signature product, which is, you know, nutrient-dense and like really perfected to like know how much you're getting throughout the week. And so there's different meal plans where you can get either 6, 10, or 12, and either do, you know, singles, blends, or a mix of the two. But we really try to be like a help in your life, not just the end all be all. So we realize like the modern parent probably has a mix of things. Like you're probably cooking sometimes, you're eating out sometimes, and then you want help other times. Mm-hmm. And so we really wanted a package that you would get and you would have just enough to like enter into your life, maybe one a day, you know, something that really made your life easier.
Yeah. And, you know, as part of our mission, it really is like a 360 degree support system. So it's not just about creating a better baby food product, which obviously we really aim to do, but it's also about supporting the parent, like providing recipes and providing nutrition guides. So, you know, we want to support you if you, hey, you want to cook a meal on a Saturday, like great, we're there for you too. And I think like that's just really important in our messaging. Like it's not just about like you have to buy this one product or you're not part of like the support network. Like you can just learn from us, and that's great. And that furthers the mission of improving the way people think about baby food for their kids and think about this period of time.
Now, how did you guys come up with the recipes? Were you guys just like cooking at home together? Were you guys like every day sending each other messages? How did you guys see each other every single day? Yeah. Whose house do you guys go over? How did you guys come up with the recipes?
So a few ways. I mean, one, Evelyn moved in.
Literally.
Yeah. So we spent a lot of time going over things.
Did it make you like not want to have a kid?
I do feel like I know too much sometimes. You know, like there's all these things no one tells you about even childbirth. But, you know, it's also amazing. And having lived in Angela's home for essentially 2 years, like I got to see her kids grow up. And it's incredible. So
I always tell people, if you like, the best form of birth control is just listen to our show. Because we really tell it how it is.
Yeah.
We talk about everything. And all our friends who don't have kids are like, yeah, it's cool. I already know too much.
Yeah, that's what I love about your show. Because I'm always like, this is great. People don't say that enough.
So you moved in.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you guys were just like, did you guys start cooking right away?
Well, how did it? A lot of it was inspired by, you know, how Angela geeked out for her first kid, Elodie, right? Mm-hmm. And she made so many of those purees. And then, like, taking some of that core content and going to nutritionists and pediatricians, as we mentioned, and just making sure that all the boxes were checked off. And, I mean, like,
yeah, another part of this is, like, also, like, palate training. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, kids aren't born picky eaters. Like you have to expose them to food. And so, you know, I'm Asian. I grew up eating fish sauce, and people always like, you know, why do you like fish sauce? I was like, I wasn't genetically predisposed to liking fish sauce. Yeah. I did it because of exposure. And so a lot of what we try to incorporate are flavors, like multi-ethnic flavors, you know, there's curry or turmeric or cumin and like herbs and spices and a lot of our things, because your kids should be exposed to different spices over their life. You know, so under two, your palate really is forming. All of these things are happening, you know, so your palate's forming, neurons are firing, you're learning, your insulin levels are being set, all of this is happening, and you want to support it. And so that's why you don't want diets high in fructose. You want have like, you know, more nutrient dense foods, because everything that you put in your mouth should be nutrient dense. And so we said a lot about what types of recipes, also the flavor profile of these recipes over the course of 2 years, and then tested it on my kids. So it's little guinea pigs at work.
Now, do you guys are only focused on, I would say, kids from age from what to what?
Well, like about, I guess, 5 months might be a very common start point for intro to solids, 5-6 months. And then, you know, roughly 2 years. But even beyond that, we have adults who are also ordering it for themselves. It's just interesting.
I kind of ate some of my husband. I'm like, well, I don't have lunch, but you can take one of these.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, the idea is that we also grow with our customers. We'll have in the future snacks and other things that even older kids, we really try to make it very nutrient dense. So even as good to give your toddler, because it's such a key period of their life. Mm-hmm. But like, there's no reason why adults or little kids can't eat this too. You know, it's just really interesting. I think, like, to your point earlier about how, you know, you were kind of like shocked that you didn't want to eat baby food, right? Mm-hmm. And that should just be a completely different perspective. Like, you should be like, this is real food. It's good.
Now, how did you guys feel when you guys finally launched?
Relief.
Yeah. I don't know. Excited. It's so much excitement. And I think, you know, you build up something for so long. It's like you built this house, you know, and you finally get to live in it. And then you live in it and you're like, oh, there's still so much we have to do. Because, like, there's like launching. Yeah, there's launching. And then there's still like, you have to run the company now, you know. But there was just such excitement. And we really wanted this to be out in the world. We think that, you know, there's not enough brands for moms now that speak to like the modern mother. You know, I think you can tell from our website that we really thought of this differently. We didn't want it to look like baby things. You know, like, for whatever reason, everything in the baby space looks like it's selling to the baby, you know, but this is for the mom. Like, we wanted it for the mom. We wanted you to feel like it was for you. And so we were just so excited to see our friends and see other moms respond to that. And so, you know, we've had really great responses. Yeah. And that feels good.
Even in, like, you know, the initial weeks, there was this wave of, you know, media mentions that got picked up in a lot of places. And it was just, you don't know how something's going to be received till you put it out in the world. And so I think it was great to felt like we hit a chord, that there was, you know, clearly this gap in the market, this white space, and that people were responding to it, whether it was customers or people even outside of our delivery zone who are like, wow, this is different.
So now, you guys are pretty young. You guys are a very, very young company. Mm-hmm. But I think already you guys are already seeing success, I would say, right? You guys are being received very well by the mom community, and you guys are just walking along. I mean, I don't think, coming from a business owner, like, you always find, like, you have that moment where you're like, oh my God, I made it, right? I feel like we're always, like, searching for that. Mm-hmm. But was there a moment that you guys were like, oh my gosh, I think this is going to work?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to...
I don't know. I think the reason... It was almost like in the beginning, we just felt like this had to exist. Whether it was us or another company, but we're like... We felt like we had the perspective. We had like the drive and the mission to get this right. And so, you know, I don't think we feel like we've made it. But I do feel like from day one, we felt like this is important.
Right.
And
seeing it blow up for a period of time was like really satisfying. You know, you're like... Because like... You know that this should exist, and it feels like really great to have people.
Or like a repeat customer, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, like that feels so great. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, orders pouring in and repeat customers and people writing in and telling us how much it helps their lives. Like, all of that makes you feel really great. As the feeling is like you've made it. I don't know that feeling ever will come.
I think as business owners, I think everyone who starts a business or is entrepreneurial, I don't think anyone ever feels like they've made it, right? Because I think that's what really fuels us to like keep going, keep pushing, keep innovating, keep creating.
Yeah.
I don't think that I made it moment comes. I think there is like a moment where you're like, oh my God, this is going to work, or like we're in the right path.
Yeah, I think, you know, it really comes down to those like small moments when like people write in. And there's like this intimate moment with like a customer where they're talking about how it changed their life. And like, you know, they didn't have to sit down and write that email, but then they do. And it's like, okay, like I made at least that person's life a little bit better. And they feel like a better parent, or their life is a little bit easier. They have more moments to have high quality time with their kids. And I think that's like when it feels like, yeah, this is working.
Yeah.
Now, what has been the most challenging part of this journey for you guys? I mean, I'm sure there's been several, but have you guys felt like, have you guys gone into an argument together where you're like, oh my gosh, like, I want to kill you and I want to like leave. I want to get out of this door. Like, I'm done with you, maybe. I know you guys just launched and you guys had 2 years to put this together. That's a long time.
Yeah. I mean, we argue like a married couple. Like, right. It is truly a good analogy for it because, you know, we fiercely debate on things. Like, we are so different and also alike in many ways, but I think it's like we've always, from day one, been very honest with each other and, like, talked about, like, the foundation from which we argue. And I think it's also probably, and I'm not married yet, Angela is, but we talk about, you know, what are the best marriages built for and how do they argue? And you always argue with an eye towards the future. Like, I'm never divorcing her. Like, right. That's, like, the perspective. And so when we go into an argument, it's still rooted in a deep respect and love. But yeah, we definitely like debate about things fiercely, and that's part of like the fun of it, and why we're good business partners. I think is because we come at it from different angles. But yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you know, as running a business, it's not easy. It's certainly not easy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as far as like the challenges go and the launch, we fight. But there's no, again, I wouldn't even call them fighting. Like, we just, like, I think it's part of the process of growing. Like, you're supposed to have someone push back at you. Like, I couldn't imagine doing this alone. Like, it's so great to have someone push back every thought and, like, make sure that that is the right path. And, like, we're really, like, you know, together going towards something else. Like, you know, she really is the other side of my brain. Like, she's creative and I do the finance. And we sort of just can get to talk through everything. And I really think that helps to be together through that process. Like, even the really good times and the really, like, hard times, I think that it's good to have a partner. And as far as, you know, like, all the challenges, I think starting a business, you start realizing that you are all things. You know, you have to be, you know, everybody from the accountant to, you know, the marketer to the salesperson and everything in between. And so, you know, that was, you know, really eye-opening and really, you know, challenging throughout the process, all the roles.
I think the hardest part for me, and because I used to be an observer, right, of entrepreneurs, and I wrote about their stories, was you can imagine doing like one role well, right? You can imagine figuring out bookkeeping or hiring or, you know, marketing. Like, there's all these discrete functions that you're like, okay, I can figure that out. But then you have to make decisions across the board, and it weighs on you. And you know, as co-founders, like, the buck stops with us. And so that's an enormous amount of pressure. So kind of like navigating that, I think, is challenging. But
did you guys always knew you wanted to start your own business, being entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, like, I really believe that like it really was part of my DNA. Like, I wanted to create something. I wanted something to be out there in the world. I think that making the world better. And I think Evelyn was the same. We've talked about it. Like, you know, I think it's really just in us to want to do something.
Now, Evelyn, you don't have any kids and you're not married. What made you jump into the space? What made you, like, jump into the motherhood space? Because, I mean, before I had a child, and everybody knows this on the show, I was, like, not about anything mom life. In fact, like, my sister had a child and I was, like, far from her. I was like, cool, you do your mom thing. I'm going to go and grab a drink with my girlfriends and, like, be jolly. Like, there's no need for me to be around children until I got pregnant and my perspective shift. But you did this on your own.
Yeah.
Girl, why?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think I talked a little bit before about, you know, how eye-opening all this research was and how critical that was. And also, I'm in my early 30s, so all of my friends were having babies. But it was also really personal. I think, you know, I come from a family who came here in the 70s. I was born in the 80s. And we were an immigrant family growing up in New Jersey. And when I was young, everything in the grocery store was like, oh, amazing, right? Like, we could afford all this stuff. And if they said it was healthy, we believed that it was healthy. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s, like mid-20s, late 20s, where it really became very eye-opening that, like, food is medicine. And guess what? Like, sometimes big food doesn't necessarily tell you what's healthy or provide that for you in their products. And I think it's just so interesting because I come from a family in the healthcare industry. My dad designed, you know, drugs. He was in the pharmaceutical industry. So that's why we are in New Jersey. And my sister's a doctor. And, you know, just even from their experiences, my sister had her first child and so I'm an aunt now. And she was like, hey, like, what should I do about feeding my kid? I had one nutrition class in all of med school. And so I don't know the first thing about this. And my dad, you know, he's now diabetic And he had a PhD in chemistry, and he should be very up on. He designed, you know, AIDS therapies and all these things. And, you know, I will have to go home, go through the refrigerator and tell him, like, don't have this salad dressing because it has a lot of sugar. Mm-hmm. And I just think, like, it was a combination of those personal experiences and really coming to this realization that food is medicine that made me feel like, you know, to create a really great impact in this world, like, food is one of the best, like, food entrepreneurship is one of the best vehicles because there's so much that needs to change.
So true. So true. You're a mom. How has it been? How has this journey been for you shifting from, you know, being a mom and an entrepreneur, like a mom-trepreneur, whatever they call it nowadays, you know, and how has that journey been for you? How has it changed your perspective of motherhood, and how has it changed your life and how you see your children, and, you know, just how do you do day to day sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, I think the funny thing is that also before I had kids, I was really not into the mom space. And so I think that it sort of speaks to this, like, movement that our mom space has not been changed in so long. There wasn't, you know, voices that we wanted to listen to. You know, there wasn't products that we wanted to use that, like, really spoke to us as a generation. And so there needed to be all these things. They needed to be a super mamas. They needed to be places that sounded like us, you know. And so when I got into it, I realized, you know, this needed to exist. And that, like, so when you start as a company or entrepreneur or whatever, like, I think part of it was never just like it's not like about the balance about working and being a mom. It really was just, I'm working. You know, it happens to also be in the mom space and I'm working. And I think that is a great thing for my kid to see, you know, to see their mom working and really care about something. And also, you know, part of the reason why we started the company, or my, like, the vision of the company is to be a help towards working moms. And so, like, having these, like, little extra access things that help your life, you know, whether it's, you know, nutrition advice, like, you know, our 360 degree view on it, so you have, like, a nutritionist support, or it's, you know, recipes, or it's the food that comes, all of it's supposed to help you. And so I still think of that when I think of working, like, you know, what helps me in my life to get my job done, me working, because I think it does take a village to raise the kid, you know. So, like, getting help with from my husband or from family and integrating that into my work life. Like, I really think that, you know, that's what sort of taught me about this period of motherhood and being a boss, or, you know, and trying to integrate all that into my life.
Yeah. I always, several women who've come into the show, and, you know, we asked them the same question. I think the common thing is, like, I want to be an example for my children, right? Mm-hmm. I want my son or my daughter to see, like, that I love what I do and that I'm happy. Because when moms are happy and following their dreams and doing what they want, they're better moms.
Yeah.
And yes, the guilt will always be there. You know, I think, like, this morning when I dropped my kid at daycare, he was crying. He was like, "Mommy, I don't want you to go work," you know? And I think it was one, I think he's at that stage, you know, he's 2.5. Is he at that stage when he can actually tell me that? Mm-hmm. You know, before I would just be like, "Peace, you can't really talk." Yeah. But, like, now he's actually able to speak, you know? And today, I think, was one of the first days he told me that. And I remember listening to an interview once, and the therapist was saying, you know, just tell him that you're sad for leaving him. Mm-hmm. Like, don't ever say, like, it's okay. You know, tell him you're following your dreams. Tell him, "I'm leaving because I'm following my dreams. I'm leaving because I like to work. It doesn't mean that I love you less. It just means that mommy needs to follow her dreams." And I think that's a beautiful example, that's the best example a mom can give their kids, you know? And one day your kid's going to grow up and see this and tell their, and, you know, see a kid in the street, like, eating yumi and be like, "My mom made that." Mm-hmm. And how awesome is that, you know? So where can moms find you?
Yeah, so we're at Yumi on Instagram, so you can check us out there.
But just also, at Yumi?
Yeah, at Yumi, good. Which is also on Facebook and Twitter. But yeah, a lot of moms initially find us through Instagram. And then,
of course, like most things in life today.
Yes. And then, of course, our website is helloyumi.com. And we'd love to offer your listeners, you know, a free week to try. So
yes.
Yeah, just code supermamas.
Yes, that's a great code. Okay, we're going to link that in the show notes, supermamas.com. So you guys can check that out. Thank you guys so much for coming. We're going to take a little quick break and just come back with a quick supermama tip or pick of the week. Okay, we'll be right back.
Let's start with Evelyn. You know, we have a lot of non-mom listeners here in the show. So I think they appreciate that another like fellow non-mom is here. What tip do you have for our listeners this week? Or pick? What are you loving? What are you reading? How do you maintain sane? How do you maintain being a boss in this world? What's helping you?
Well, you know, it's funny. We talked about how I'm going to be so prepared when that day comes, because I have been like reading so much about parenting and motherhood and childbirth. And one of the books I recently came across was Erica Chitty Cohen's new book, Nurture, which is a modern guide to pregnancy, birth, early motherhood, and trusting yourself and your body. And I think it just came out. I think it's starting to roll out. She's an amazing doula who's been in the LA scene. And she, this is a, I think of her first book, and it has everything from like a great chia pudding recipe to like things you just wish you knew, you know? And so I haven't showed this to my fiance because it might kind of freak him out, but so it's a great book, whether or not you like,
you can always say it's research.
It's research. It's research. Yeah. Yeah.
And mine, I say, like, I use this True Botanical spritz because sometimes I'm not showering.
Is that your pick?
Yeah. And I think that's probably my pick. It makes you smell great and soft on your skin. And so, like, everyone, I feel fresh when I use it.
True Botanical spritz?
Yeah, is it? Like,
I think it's like a hydrating face.
Hydrating face spritz thing. But, yeah, I use it every day. They joke because it does make me feel like I've freshly showered.
Sometimes you don't want to shower, you know, and it's okay. And I feel like that's an Emmy, my tip, you know, let's keep it all. If you don't want to shower, sometimes don't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm not saying to be dirty. I'm just saying, like, I feel, and that can just be so many things. Sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to have the perfect fit hair, to go out with makeup, to look good, and not even just that, but like to be on trends and like to have the right color scheme and like your whatever, your underwear to match your bra or whatever. You know what I mean? Like all these things. And, you know, I feel like maybe one day this week, just be a rebel and like say no to it and be like, you know what? Today I'm not going to shower and I'm just going to wear whatever I want. I don't even, whatever the first thing I see. And there's probably something really freeing about that, you know, just be like, you know what? I'm just gonna be me. Love me or hate me, let me spritz my face and let that be it.
That's right.
Yeah. No, totally. And this company is kind of like a new baby. And so I joke that I get really excited if I can blow dry my hair once a month these days. So I'm 100% on that train.
Yeah. I agree. Well, thank you guys so much for being here today. I really appreciate you guys taking the time. Again, your company, HelloYumi.com and at Yumi on Instagram and Yumi on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, SuperMamas.com and Instagram at _SuperMamas and SuperMamas Podcast on Facebook. We'll see you next week. SuperMamas!
Bye. Thank you.